And now today in our study of the book of Genesis, we have reached chapter 43. But I want to divide the chapter into two parts. We'll look at the first half of the chapter today, and in the next study we shall look at the remainder of the chapter. If you were to take time to read through the whole chapter, you'll find, first of all, you're going to learn things regarding Joseph and his treatment of his brethren. But before you reach that point, you must understand a little about the circumstances that compelled them to come back into the land to see Joseph. Before we read the opening verses of the chapter, let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee again. We readily acknowledge that it is holy business when we read the Scriptures and seek to learn Thy mind and will from what is revealed. So by Thy Holy Spirit, help us today. Look down in mercy upon every listener. Grant them a rich blessing. We'll be careful to give Thee the glory. In the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Now then, let me read to you the opening verses of Genesis 43. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words, Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him, of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame for ever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother, and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. I would give a title to this particular part of the chapter. I would call it Facing the Problem. In our last study, dealing with the closing part of chapter 42, we termed that the Depression of Jacob. And we left Jacob in that state of soul depression. I might say this, that right here Jacob is at a very, very low ebb. And this leads on to the turning point in Jacob's life's history. But here in these verses, he's facing the problem. Verse 1 of the chapter says, "And the famine was sore in the land." To begin with, the famine was in the land. And I pointed out that when there was a famine in the land of promise, somehow or another, that was very confusing. If it was only an ordinary famine, well now, one could say we'll get over that. But if you're in the place where God has told you to be, and you're in the will of God, you're in the land of promise, and yet the famine comes, it makes it very difficult to understand. Why should a famine come in the land of promise? But now remember, this death has gone on for some time. Actually, before it's finished, there will be 7 years of famine. Not just 1 year, 7 years. At this particular point, it has gone for about 2 years. If there's only a famine 1 year, and you have a good year before it and a good year after it, you may make it up. But when famine comes 2 years in succession, it's very difficult. And now he's saying here, the famine was sore in the land. That is, it's getting worse. And here now we have the pressure of circumstances. And when the pressure of circumstances come to such a dire point, Jacob is moved. He realizes something must be done. And he gives directions to his sons. He speaks to his sons. In plain words, he gives them a commission. He tells them to return to Egypt for corn. Now, may I remind you that while this seems quite a natural thing, and it seems to be on the material side, the earthly side, Jacob says, "We need food. There's only one place to get it. You must go back down to Egypt." Ah, but there's a divine side to this. God was working behind the scenes in order to accomplish his own plans, not only for Jacob, but for Jacob's descendants, not simply as a family, but the nation that would come from Jacob. God was working out his own plans for that nation, and God was working out his own plans through Joseph. But the commission of Jacob to his sons is this: go down to the land. When they finished all that they had, he said, "Go again, buy us a little food." You know, my friend, sometimes advice is required. When people are in difficult circumstances, they come, as it were, to the crossroads in life. And then we need the right direction. Young people need directions, as well as old people. There comes a time in life when you reach, as it were, the dead end. You feel you cannot turn to the right. You cannot turn to the left. And before you is a blank, a wall that you cannot climb. And you wonder, what are you going to do? May I suggest, God sometimes brings us into these circumstances in order to cause us to turn to Him, and to throw all the burden upon Him. There's a New Testament principle says that we are to throw all our anxiety upon Him, for He has made us His special concern. The King James Version says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I wonder, my friend, are you carrying a weight of anxiety today? Are you carrying a burden, just as Jacob was? You don't know which way to turn. There doesn't seem to be a way out of your difficulty. Well now, you can throw all your anxiety upon the Lord. That is, if you know the Lord. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, throw all your anxiety upon the Lord, for He has made you His special concern. But if someone should be listening to me just now, and you're not a Christian, you don't know the Lord, and you have also been brought into a state in life that appears to be like an impasse, you don't know which way to turn, you don't know what to do, my friend, you need direction, and your direction should be this: you need the Lord. Turn to the Lord in all your need. Cast yourself upon God first for salvation, and then He'll give you directions for the way in life. So there was the commission given by Jacob to his son because of the pressure of circumstances. But then there's the conditions to be met. There was a demand made by the man who was the lord of the land. And he told them that if they were to trade in the country, they must prove themselves to be honest men. And so he said to them, "You shall not see my face except your brother be with you." And so they're reminding their father of this. And they tell him that this was the demand of the man who was the lord of the land. "We must bring Benjamin. If we don't bring Benjamin, we cannot see the man." But they didn't know at that time that the man was Joseph, their brother. So therefore they must bring Benjamin, or else their needs would not be met. See, Joseph is doing something here. He is testing his brethren. He gave them this message on their first visit: if you're coming again and you want food, bring Benjamin. I wonder, would they treat Benjamin the same way as they treated Joseph? Joseph was the father's favorite, you see, and they didn't like him. And after Joseph went out of the house and his father thought he was dead, it seems quite evident that they made Benjamin his favorite. He was the youngest. But would they treat Benjamin the same way as they treated Joseph? Joseph says, "Bring him with you. If you don't bring Benjamin, then you will not see my face." You know, my friend, there are certain conditions that God lays down for us. Have you ever noticed the message that was preached by all the prophets, and the message that was preached by the greatest of them, John the Baptist? The same message was preached by the Lord Himself. And the same message was preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost, and likewise by Paul. They all had this message: repent. You see, the Bible tells us that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Where there is no repentance, there can be no salvation. No repentance, no reconciliation. "Now," says Joseph, "you'll bring Benjamin." That's the condition. Keep the condition and the blessing will be yours. You can trade in the land and you can buy food. But you must bring Benjamin. And God is saying to you today, my friend, if you're not a Christian, He's saying, repent. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. After all, there's only one way into God's heaven. No matter who you may be, high or low, rich or poor, black or white, I care not, my friend. Remember, there's only one door into God's heaven, and Jesus Christ is the door. And if you're ever going to have an acceptance with God, you must come in God's way. Joseph said, "If you're coming here to trade, you'll come on my terms. Meet my terms, and I'll supply you with what you need." And if you, my friend, want to have an acceptance with God, you must come on God's terms. Joseph was right. He was dealing with his brethren in a righteous manner in order to bless them, as we shall see later on in this chapter. But now, old Jacob at this point is not yet prepared to yield Benjamin. But there is a contract stated here by Judah. You see, if there is a confusion of opinions for old Jacob, who, by the way, I should point out, is mentioned here now as Israel. This is Israel speaking here in verse 6. Israel said, "Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me? as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother. And then they told him how it came about. Now, after that, you have the contract by Judah. Judah is prepared to enter into a contract with his father Israel. He says, now if you send the lad with me, I'm willing to take full responsibility for Benjamin. So it was Judah, you remember, who was the one who proposed the selling of Joseph at the time when they pulled him up out of the pit. It was Judah who said, we'll sell Joseph. Now Judah assumes the responsibility of becoming surety for Benjamin. Now here's something I might interject here for the benefit of every listener. When the tribes of Israel divided later on while they were in the land and they became a monarchy and there was 12 tribes, when they split and 10 tribes took to the north and 2 tribes took to the south, the 2 tribes in the south was the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. So Judah seemed to take the responsibility for Benjamin ever afterwards. And so Judah and Benjamin continued in the land under the standard of Judah. You might say under the protection of Judah, while the 10 tribes took to the north. At this time here in Genesis 4-3, Judah enters into a contract with Israel that he will become surety for the lad, that is, for Benjamin. Now, that leads us to a very interesting point in the life of this man who was called Jacob and had his name changed to Israel. This, I suggest to you, is a vital turning point in the history of Israel. Here is a picture of complete surrender to the will of God and a testimony to the power of God. Now, when Judah suggested to his father that he would accept the responsibility for Benjamin, he also argues on this line. If you had yielded him before, we could have been there and we could have been back again with plenty of food. We could have been back with the corn, and now we're in dire circumstances and you're still holding back. And at verse 11, there begins now the consent by Israel. So Israel the father looks at them and he said, if it must be so now, I want you to do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, with spices, myrrh, nuts and almonds. Now I want you to think of those first two things that he tells them to take. He says, take down a little balm and a little honey. Balm was that which could soothe the wounds, you know. It was a soothing balm. And honey is that which speaks of sweetness. In plain words, Israel is telling his family, his sons, I want you to take something down to the man. Now he didn't know it was Joseph. To him he was the man of the land, the lord of the land, the man who had command of the corn. Now he said, I want you to do something. I want you to take something to the man. First of all, a little balm. That's something that would soothe. Then you'll take him a little honey. That's something that would sweeten. Now, isn't it strange, dear listening friend, how a man in the very depths of sorrow, a man who's facing problems for which he knew no answer, a man who was down in the very depths of soul depression, and he's saying, you're going to bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now he says, look, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Take these things to the man. How could a man out of the depths of sorrow provide that which would be a balm for someone else? He's trying to soothe another person. And he's sending something to sweeten another person's life. May I suggest to all our hearts today, It's only when people have passed through times of sorrow themselves that they're able to provide for others that which will comfort, that which will soothe, and that which will sweeten. And here we have a beautiful picture of this man Israel, out of his own sorrow, providing that which would be a help, as he thought, to others. And then he mentions something else. Whether he understood the full implication of this, we hardly know. But he says, take double money in your hand, and also the money that was bud again in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. So he sends back the money. But add something else to that. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. May I suggest, here is Israel, right at the point where he's ready to yield all that he has, everything now that he rested upon, he's willing to yield it and leave the issue with God. Even Benjamin. Yes, you can go down to the man. Take that which will soothe. Take that which will sweeten. Take the money that will pay for what we already got and what we're about to buy. Take the money. And also, take your brother Benjamin. May I suggest it was easier for him to part with these things that he sent and to part with the money that he sent than it was to part with Benjamin. Oh, it must have been rending his heart as he stood at the door that day and he watched them go away and taking Benjamin with them, going down to the land of Egypt, wondering if he would ever see Benjamin again. Then I suggest to you, as he gave his consent, and they were going down to get more corn. Verse 15 comes home to all of us. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. Nothing said about the journey. I'm going to ask you this simple question. What do you think their father Israel did after he saw them going away? What do you think you could write between verse 14 and verse 15? At verse 14, they're leaving the old homestead. Jacob, no doubt, standing in the door watching his sons go away, no doubt shedding a tear as he saw Benjamin go with him. There will be the last farewell as they took their journey. In the next verse, verse 15, they arrive in Egypt. But where is the father? What would you write at the end of verse 14? May I make a suggestion? He went into the home, and bending his knee, he committed all things to God. For look what it says at the beginning of verse 14. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And he goes in, I suggest to you, and what he has said to his sons, he's now going to say to God. And he speaks to God as the God Almighty, the El Shaddai. And he bends the knee, no doubt, and commits the whole matter to God, and leaves the issue with God. And that was a turning point in the history of this man.